This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Los Angeles police looking for whoever shot a driver who crashed a car into a crowd of people in East Hollywood around 2 in the morning. Police say people in the crowd dragged out and beat up the driver. 23 people were taken to hospital as well as the driver. No word on his condition or the reason why it happened. Los Angeles Fire Department Captain Adam Van Gerpen.
We saw a large number of traumatic injuries. So these are injuries that are associated with being struck by a vehicle. So we had broken bones. We had soft tissue injuries.
Officers say the gunman ran away. Sound of plane-to-tower radios released to the pilot of a SkyWest flight this week that made an emergency landing in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, saying that right now there's a fight with the flight attendant with a man trying to open the emergency exit. A 23-year-old facing possible federal charges. Developing tragedy, a tourist boat flipped over during a thunderstorm in Vietnam, over 30 people dead. This is ABC News. New at U.S. airports, an honor lane. It's an express security lane just for uniformed service members. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem establishing the new perks, which include for Gold Star families, those who've lost a loved one in active duty service, opportunity to apply for TSA PreCheck without having to pay the usual fee. ABC's Ike Ajachi.
Why all these changes right now? Well, travel numbers are soaring. The FAA just reported Thursday was the busiest day for flights in U.S. airspace since 2010. Almost 56,000 flights in a single day. On most days, we see about 45,000. So the bottom line, some well-earned perks and a bit less hassle for military families, just as airports are busier than ever.
The Tomorrowland Music Festival has kicked off in Belgium 2 days after a massive fire damaged its main stage. Workers cleared debris around the clock to make it happen. Organizers say nobody was hurt, and the cause is under investigation. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Whether it's day or night, hot flashes due to menopause can be unpredictable. That's why there's Veozah, a prescription treatment proven to reduce the number and severity of hot flashes day and night that can start working in as early as 1 week. Based on clinical studies measuring efficacy at 4 and 12 weeks, individual results may vary. Talk to your healthcare provider about what this may mean for you. For moderate to severe vasomotor symptoms or hot flashes and night sweats due to menopause, Veozah can cause serious side effects, including liver problems. Your doctor will do blood tests before and during treatment. Stop Veozah and call your doctor if you have symptoms of liver problems, such as feeling more tired than usual, decreased appetite, nausea, vomiting, itching, yellowing of the eyes or skin, pale stool, dark urine, or stomach pain. Don't use Veozah if you have cirrhosis, severe kidney problems, kidney failure, or take CYP1A2 inhibitors. Ask your doctor about Veozah. To learn more, call 1-866-239-1637 or go to Veozah.com. That's Veozah.com.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shally Pittman. A resident of Eau Claire is speaking out about the impact of cuts to safety net programs, programs like Medicaid and SNAP. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Wisconsin News Connection reports.
Oliver Wynn and his parents all live with disabilities. He says Medicaid has allowed him to have surgeries that have improved his quality of life to such a degree that he no longer needs a wheelchair. It also helps him pay for medication that would otherwise cost $5,000 a month. Wynn describes the forthcoming federal cuts to Medicaid and SNAP as terrifying.
It's going to change a lot of things for a lot of people, and I'm concerned for myself. I'm concerned for my family, my community. Everyone is going to be affected by this.
It's estimated more than 276,000 people in Wisconsin could lose their Medicaid coverage, and another 90,000 risk losing their SNAP benefits over the next decade. One in eight people in Wisconsin depends on SNAP to help pay for groceries. Wynn is one of them. Although he currently works overnight shifts, he says he still needs SNAP to afford food for him and his child. Before he had Medicaid and SNAP, Wynn says his high medical debts meant he struggled to keep up with food and housing expenses, which led him to become homeless.
Because there's no way to balance trying to feed yourself, trying to pay off this debt, and still have access to health care. and rent.
Along with federal cuts, the Trump administration is implementing stricter work requirements for these programs in an effort to curb what it calls welfare dependency. More than 45% of SNAP recipients in Wisconsin are in working families, and the majority of Medicaid recipients in the state are part of the workforce. Wynn says the rhetoric suggesting beneficiaries are lazy and unmotivated isn't based on reality. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, becoming mostly sunny, we'll have highs in the low 80s. For tonight, partly cloudy and a low around 61. Mostly sunny on Sunday with a high near 80 degrees. 81 on Monday, 87 on Tuesday with some scattered showers and storms. Currently 75 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
On Monday, I'll still be camping in the Northwoods, so Matt Rothschild is in the guest host chair. He'll be bringing you his thoughts about Wisconsin progressivism and, of course, some slamming poetry.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Krebscast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens. This week, we have a very special guest. Thanasis Antetokounmpo is coming on the show. If you're a Milwaukee Bucks fan, you're in for a real treat. We talk about everything from, what's going on next year with the Bucks to pet peeves, what makes him say cripes. He tries his very first bratwurst after 10 years in Milwaukee. He is trying his very first bratwurst right here on the Cripescast. That's sort of a special add-on that we're going to put to the end of this podcast. So, it's going to be great. Make sure you guys check it out. You should also know he is the host of the Analysis podcast. Which is a great podcast. He was nice enough to have me, on it about a year ago. Today. So, it's cool. And I just want to give him a shout out because he fit this into his schedule. He's about to head out to Greece for the summer. And so he just made time to do this. And I had a great time. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. So, ladies and gentlemen, here is my conversation with Thanasis Antetokounmpo. Well, thanks for coming on. I'm surprised you did, because the last time we talked later that afternoon, you might have gotten kind of an injury.
Oh, yeah. No. I don't.
You don't hold that against me?
No. Everything happens for a reason, man. Everything happens for a reason. And I don't hold that against you because you're a great dude, by the way.
Thank you.
And you've always supported like anything I do. So I'm, bro, in a heartbeat.
Okay.
In a heartbeat.
So there wasn't any part of you that thought I was bad luck?
No, I actually thought you were good luck because I was like, oh, at least I had this awesome podcast and interview before I got
wow
hurt.
Okay,
it could be worse. It could always be worse.
Yeah, it could
always be worse, trust me.
How you feel now? You just came back from a workout?
I feel amazing, man. Knocking wood, I feel great. I just want to I can't wait for the next season to start. I can't wait for the summer. I mean, I just work out and do all the stuff. So
yeah, great. You're going back to Greece.
I'm out of here
every summer, man. Are you excited?
Yeah, bro. I'll tell you one thing, right? Whenever I go to Greece, it's an amazing thing because for us as a family too, because, it's our family time. But at the same time, we work, right, when it comes to our businesses. And then we work when it comes to the court. And Greece is such a good place in Europe in general because, even the Mediterranean cuisine, right, the food and everything, you stay in shape. You never get out of shape.
Whoa. Pause right there.
Yeah.
Pause right there. What are you trying to say about Midwest food right now?
I'm not trying to talk about Midwest food. What I'm trying to say is about how much in general in the U.S. has so much big variety when it comes to food. So it's impossible to avoid anything, right? It's impossible to go I'm not going to eat this. And then next in your face, you go okay, you know what? I'm not going to eat Five Guys. And then I'm like, oh, then I'm going to eat Chick-fil-A. Oh, no, I'm not going to eat Chick-fil-A. But then I'm going to have Shake Shack. Oh, I'm not going to have Shake Shack. It's so many things. So it's always being thrown into your face, to have a, the cheap meal or the snack or so. No, it's not about Midwest.
I mean, just to be
I like Midwest. That's true.
Okay. And to be very clear, the Midwest has we have some of the most unhealthy food the world has ever seen. Whether it's deep fried cheese curds, brats. Have you had a brat yet?
No, you told me you was going to give me barbecue.
Outside, I got a grill going. So if you want your first brat today.
Oh, yeah.
You will do it?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. I got news for you. That's going to be a cheap meal, though.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Just you know what I want, though?
What's that?
I want the brat, but give me the simplest version of it. Because I feel like
you don't trust me at all, do you?
I trust you, but I don't want to get like the peppers and the I just want to get the simplest version of it.
Standard brat.
Yes.
Okay. Not even mustard, not even horseradish.
I'll do those.
Okay.
Those I'll do. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get that going for you. I got the grill going just for you. Okay.
Oh.
First brat. I mean, this is like if I were to go to Greece. And yeah. I would have the most Greek cuisine possible. Yeah. What would be the equivalent of the brat in Greece?
Souvlaki.
Souvlaki?
Yes.
Okay. What's that?
It's pita. You know what pita is?
Pita
bread.
Yeah.
Right? You put gyros.
Okay.
And gyros could be the chicken, beef, pork. It could be, one of those three.
Yeah.
And it's like a doner, but it's not doner. It's not goat. It's like those three. You put those, you put a little bit of tomato, tzatziki, you put maybe some onions.
Oh, yeah.
Ready to rock. Some potatoes, depends if you want to make it like the full
house. Deal. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be the equivalent of me like adding on the peppers and everything, probably. Yeah. Which you don't need in your life right now. Okay, I got it. Well, I got to do that sometime. I got to come to Greece.
Anytime. I'm going to be there, I'm going to be out there. So you're invited.
Thank you.
Just let me know if you want to, apartment, home, state, whatever, just show up.
I appreciate that. You. I'll just show up.
Just show up.
And hope you answer your phone.
No. Just show up.
Okay. All right, cool. So what's the best time to be out there? Because, the season's obviously during the winter. You're out there during the summer. Is that the ideal time to go there? Or is it just the time you got?
So this is very interesting that you say. So, Greece, has a... basically has a big, big, big season, right, for the summer. So, it's like 6 months summer in Greece, right,
oh, wow.
Which is big.
It's like our winter.
And but the summers in Greece are very nice. Like, the middle of the summer that it kind of gets really hot. But in between that, after that, it's really, really nice. And it's not like Vegas hot. It's just hot, but really nice.
See, this is a whole conversation, though. Like,
because Vegas is really hot.
Vegas is really hot, but it's that dry heat, desert heat.
Yeah.
So do you like more that Florida heat, like the humidity added in?
No, I like Greece. Greece is in between those.
Okay, it's in between those.
Not too humid, because you don't want to go out there and feel like you're sweating before you even step out. The hotel or, your home. But I think Greece is just right.
Perfect. No better place than Greece. Nice. So when you're out there, we got phrases in the Midwest, if we want to say I love you, we say watch out for deer or something. We really make sure people know that. How do you guys say I love you in Greece without actually saying I love you? Do you have a phrase like that?
So how do we say I love you in Greek without saying I love you?
Yeah.
We do have a phrase. Well, I do think we have a phrase. I just can't think about it right now. But our phrase would be equivalent to you guys saying, hey, be careful out there.
Okay.
That's our phrase, prosinha. It doesn't necessarily say I love you, but it says I care.
Yeah.
So we do have that.
Right. What about love generally? Because I feel like the reason we say something like watch out for deer, mm-hmm. take care of yourself or whatever, is because in the Midwest, we not everybody, but I would say a lot of people, we're largely disconnected from that love thing. We don't want to give too much of ourselves, in terms of showing our true emotions. We like to repress emotions.
That's
what I'm telling you. Is that the way in Greece, or do you guys really feel your emotions there?
No. So the thing about Greek culture, I come from two big cultures, right? So
yeah.
Greek and Nigerian culture, and they're very similar in a lot of things. But I'll tell you, the thing about Greek culture is that they're very open as people. We're one of the few countries in Europe that actually cares about accommodating and speaking English. And because if you go to a lot of countries, you'll be surprised how many of them don't speak English, or maybe they do speak, but they don't want to engage because they feel like that's.
Yeah.
This is what we are very, very accommodating. And we have this word, it's called philoxenia. So philoxenia is basically hospitality, right? And if you know, I'm a little bit historian and stuff like that. The stuff they teach us in Greek, like in school, you know, it comes from a word, and the origin of it is why, you know, everybody says like, oh my God, in Greece is so hospitable and they have great service and everybody's so friendly. Yeah, but it's from the ancient times, because in the ancient times, they used to think that whenever a visitor would come, he was a god in disguise. So you would have to treat him, you know, with love and respect, and you know, offer him everything.
Yeah,
because you know, like Zeus, this, that, like all, like you would think it was a god in disguise. So from the history, it was always been like very, very big into hospitality, into like showing your, you know, love, and you know, we're very, very loving people.
That's interesting. Yeah. Like, kind of take care of everyone as if they're like a god.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, no, in disguise.
In disguise.
Because that's what the history and the mythology, that was the whole thing. You know, Zeus would come in, this god would come in disguise, and he would dress like a beggar, and you would give him like a loaf of bread, welcome him to your home and take care of him, and then he would, you know, give you a little bit of, you know.
I like that. I think we have some of that in the Midwest. Like, we'll bring you in. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll give you like a casserole. We'll ask you if you want a beer. You know, we'll offer to cook you brats. Oh, you guys stay for dinner. You know that kind of thing. But we're just not going to like open up our
emotions
and emote. You know, so like also like Nigerian culture, Greek culture, which one opens the emotions more? Which one's more like open with the emotions and which one's more like closed?
I want to say, so think about this, the way I grew up, right? I think more in the Greek culture side of it. I think more Nigerians is just like so, they have different, like the way we were raised. Like I feel like people who are raised in Nigeria and people come out of Nigeria are like superhumans, right? Yeah. Like it's, like if you come out of Nigeria, you it's not by accident that a lot of Nigerians excel overseas, right? If you know, it's sports, from Anthony Joshua, to the NFL, to doctors, to scientists, like they excel because the way of everything is so, you got to adapt at every time. And then at the same time, you really got to be as much as composed as you can. So yeah, I don't think there's a lot of emotion when it comes to.
I got you.
That's how I grew up, at least. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, you kind of brought that up, like when that dad got into your brother's face a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, like I think on your podcast, you brought up the story and your brother brought it up of like when you guys won the title, your mom was kind of like, can I come out on the court, you know? And you brought up how like your dad always, I can't remember if it was you or your brother brought this up as the same podcast, but about how like in a room he would kind of like be soft spoken or whatever. And that was kind of the experience of an immigrant in a different country. Is that kind of where that comes from?
But that's the old version. That's the last version of Nigerians. Like, I'll give an example. Like, my dad, the way we grew up, you know, because we had such a journey, right? It's such an adventure with my mom and dad. And, you know, they're immigrants. They go to Greece. They create a new life, kids, everything. And it's always been this bubble around us. Like, I was like, hey, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to do anything. It's just always been, you know, very calculated, very, you know, like, tread lightly, you know? And just like, okay, I remember people, can I tell you the story? So when my dad passed away, aging at the time, at the resting spot, the funeral, where we at, it was just the family and just us, nobody, right? Just us and our agents, which is extended family. Like we are there with them too long. And the amount of like, I could see it in their faces of how sad they were crying, how sad they were and everything. You know, I was like, man, you know, my dad was a great man. And then, you know, one of my agents sat me down at the time. He said, you don't understand how great your dad was. He said, having Giannis, having you guys, having one of the best players and families in the world, and your dad never asked for nothing. Never said like, you got to do this for my son. You got to do this. He has to be here. He has to, nothing. He would say, like, just take care of them. Just make sure they're okay. Nothing, you know? And he said, and I have, this is my player. This is the guy I have. This is the my players, right? And he never asked him nothing. And then I have other guys who are just like, every day, just push. That's, you know what I'm saying? You know how dads are, right? How mom and dads are. You're their agent and son, and this is what we want. This is what we want to do. My dad never said anything. He never talked about basketball. He never said, I think you should go to this team. I think you should do that. Never. He was always say, do you like the coach? I was like, yeah. You think he's going to give you an opportunity to just be on the stage? That was his thing. Like, get on the stage. And I remember when I first got with my first agent, he was like, oh man, Thanas, I can do this, I can do that. I was like, no, you don't even tell me anything. Just, can you just get me there? Just get me there and we'll make something happen. Just get us there. So that does comes from my dad.
Yeah.
Because he always like, get your opportunity to get on the stage and stuff like that. But you see, it's a very, it's something that it's in part of our DNA now. It's part of us now.
So. And everyone can feel that. Like you and your brother, just like the humility that you guys have and the raw talent and everything. I mean, it doesn't go hand in hand by any stretch of the imagination, typically in pro ball, you know, or whatever. Well, really pro anything, you know, if you got a lot of skill, it's hard to have that 1-2 punch of skill and humility, you know. And speaking of skill, how you feeling physically?
Feeling good, man. I just went through a tough stretch. I was telling this to, I think I was talking with my co-host on my podcast with Tony. I said, like, you know, me being hurt and just kind of got it just influenced by all these things. Like, you know, it wasn't the best year. And then I was feeling, you know, like, I got to prove myself. I got to do all these things. And then with social media and all these other stuff, I was like, now I got to show them. I got to do this, all these things. And kind of boomerang, instead of me saying like, hey, just be me. And everything works its way out. So it's way out. And then now I'm in a great, great, like, stride, move. Like, I'm feeling great. I feel great.
Yeah, I mean, that is tough, isn't it? Because I feel like even in this world, sometimes you get into that thing of feeling like I'm only as good as my last video.
Yes.
Or like maybe for you, it's I'm only as good as my last game or something. Do you have that?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. I'm only as good as my last game, but the coach ain't really give me a chance. Like, it's crazy. Like, you might say I'm good as long as my last video, and your last video was great. You just didn't post it on time. Maybe you didn't post it the right time. Maybe you didn't even post it in the right platform. And it doesn't adjust it, because now you're feeling like, oh, shit, I'm inadequate, or I got to give more and more. It's not a bad feeling. That's the feeling of somebody who would not stop till he gets to where he wants to be. That's not a bad feeling. The bad feeling comes after. If you decide and say, like, you make everything else obsolete and you go like, no. I don't care about anything else. This is what matters. Like, no. That's not how it works. It's a whole package.
Right.
You're not just about your last video. You know what I'm saying? So
you're saying you take that as sort of the drive, the fuel, the fire.
Mm-hmm.
But you take the fire kind of like leave the ashes or something. Yes. You know, use it to fuel you, but you're still, you know, you're all these other roles as a human being, like brother, son, all that sort of stuff.
This is the reality, right? Nobody can say the only thing you're good for is because you're a comedian. No, you're not. You're a good, great person, bro. You got a personality. You have all these traits, all these other things, you know? Like, I see people be like, oh, man, I just stay home all day with my kids and I'm just a great dad. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're a great dad, but that's not the only thing you are, bro. You're like, you can literally be so many other things for other people. And I'm not saying that that's not important. It's important to be a great dad. It's important to be a great player. It's important to be all these things. But don't put limits in yourself and go like, oh, yeah, that's the only thing I'm good for.
Right. Because you're doing ball, yes, but mm-hmm. also like the social media stuff. You're an entrepreneur, you know, like how do you keep it all in balance? And like, what do you like the most out of it that like once your career is done, you're like, I want to do this thing. Do you have something like that?
Yeah. So I do have. So when I'm done. So now, hopefully in the next 5-6 years, probably, you know, I'm going to be, what, 39-ish in the next 6-7 years, then 940, I'll probably be done playing. I do want to spend time with the family, and, you know, talk with kind of people, you know, they're trying to kind of get me to get into the front office in space and basketball NBA and stuff like that. We'll see. I do believe I'll crush it for sure. There's no way. I'm very dedicated. I really, you know, and obviously, you know, all this with the NBA front office has to do with connections and who you know and the bringing of the players and how to recruit. I've been doing this behind the scenes my whole life.
Yeah.
So I can see that one part of it. But other than that, I do a lot of business. So I just kind of, I'm loving the brand, the stuff I do with my brand, the podcast. So for now I'm like just doing all these things because I started doing all these things after my ninth year playing professionally, right? Ninth. And now I'm just like, what, 12 years in, 13 years in. So after my ninth year, I was like, okay, now I got to start kind of cultivating the other stuff too.
Yeah.
Like before that, it was just ball.
Well, isn't it crazy that like, because I mean, I do stand up, yeah. You know, and then you have all these other things. Yeah. Do you like this stuff? Or are you like, I got to do that because I got to build a brand to make these other things happen? Like, do you wish you could just play ball?
So no, I wish. So I don't wish I could just play ball because that is the common mistake everybody does, right? When they start playing, they go two ways, which is wrong both ways. They go like, oh, I got to build my brand before I play basketball. That's wrong. You got to play back. You got to do your thing first.
Yeah.
Show up in the court and then build your brand. And then they go like, you know what? I'm going to play basketball. And then when I get 40, then I'm start building my brand. That's false. They're both wrong. What you want to do is that build your ecosystem. What does that mean? Build your relationships, build your alliances, build the businesses that you like, pick three or four or five, whatever it is that you like, I could see myself doing that. And once you do that, they're all connected. They're all connected. Because I'll give you an example now. Let's say we went through the podcast, through comedy, stand-up comedy, etc. And I go like, hey, I'm having this huge event in Greece. Would you like to come be, you know, the first gig, the first show, the first guy? Like, oh, you're like, yeah. We met through podcasting.
Right.
Through the show.
Yeah.
Give another example. You come to our family office and I go like, hey, we're buying this building or something we're buying, you know, in Greece, Mykonos, in LA, Miami, we're buying this building. Would you want to be involved? You go like, oh yeah, sure. So it's an ecosystem. You cannot stop an ecosystem.
Right.
The thing, what you can stop is a one way moving train, which is if you just play basketball, you're dedicated to play basketball. If COVID hits again, which knock on wood, it never hits again, or anything, something like that, never hits again.
You got to actually knock on that wood, yeah, though. Yeah, 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 that would be good.
Thanks. Yeah. You're going to be devastated because what's going to happen is it's going to be like, oh my God, I've been such one-dimensional person and I don't have nothing else. Only thing I know is to chase a basketball, which is not a bad thing, but you should be able to cultivate yourself and say, okay, is that all you are? Is that who you are? Is that what you want to be? Now, you want to be dedicated. Great. Don't get me wrong. But that's all you are?
Yeah. No, I mean, I really enjoy this stuff too, especially like the podcasting, because you do like, you get to talk about stuff you're interested in and yeah, you get to network. You get to meet people that you wouldn't all otherwise be able to meet and just have conversation. And that sparks ideas and all that sort of stuff. So it's just fun too. I mean, life is short. Why not have fun with it? You know, exactly. Speaking of fun, do you like this bird?
I love this bird.
Hannah made it. It's a paper mache.
It's a what? Say it again?
It's paper mache, but it's a loon.
Loon.
And the loon, it's the Minnesota state bird, only because Wisconsin, like we have so many loons, like we don't talk about it. You know, Minnesota needs to make it their state bird, though. It's like a huge flex. But this is a cool bird. It's like it's a duck in a tux, if you want to think about it that way.
Duck in a tux. Yeah. I like it. I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see it.
What's your favorite bird in Greece? Because I'm like a big birder. So I just, when I go to Greece, I want to know what to look out for.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not a bird person.
You're not a bird guy?
No, but I do like... eagles and stuff like that. Like,
eagles?
Like, hawks, eagles, and like I can see that.
More of the birds of prey, huh? The predatory ones?
Yeah, no, not only that. I think, I just feel like I like the way they're so free and so dynamic. Like, first of all, I think how free they are. I think see everything and just like fly.
Yeah.
And at the same time, they're just, I mean, we call them predators because we see them do that, but they could choose to be anything.
Yeah, they could be pacifists. Yeah. They could be one of those hawks that just goes and eats berries. Yeah. You know, how dare we judge, you know? All right. So bird watching, that's like one of my hobbies outside of all the work stuff. What's one of your hobbies outside of all the work stuff? Like, don't have any tie to work. It's just like when no one's looking, what are you doing? And not like that, but when no one's looking, what are you doing?
I'm a big movie guy. I like movies.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm old school. Like, I go to the movies.
Do you?
Yes.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX. La Crosse is home for Matt and Air on Air.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Los Angeles police looking for whoever shot a driver who crashed a car into a crowd of people in East Hollywood around 2 in the morning. Police say people in the crowd dragged out and beat up the driver. 23 people were taken to hospital as well as the driver. No word on his condition or the reason why it happened. Los Angeles Fire Department Captain Adam Van Gerpen.
We saw a large number of traumatic injuries. So these are injuries that are associated with being struck by a vehicle. So we had broken bones. We had soft tissue injuries.
Officers say the gunman ran away. Sound of plane-to-tower radios released to the pilot of a SkyWest flight this week that made an emergency landing in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, saying that right now there's a fight with the flight attendant with a man trying to open the emergency exit. A 23-year-old facing possible federal charges. Developing tragedy, a tourist boat flipped over during a thunderstorm in Vietnam. Over 30 people dead. This is ABC News.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers shut out the Dodgers.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball.
The Brewers with a 2-0 shutout of the Dodgers last night in Los Angeles. William Contreras behind the plate. 23-year-old right-hander Quinn Priester on the mound kept the Dodgers batters guessing just how good of a performance. Manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, he was as good as I've seen him. You know what I mean? And we were going to take him out for Ohtani. And I just felt like he deserved it. He's got 6 innings of shutout going, and I felt like he deserved it, and he would grow a lot from doing this.
Right fielder Sal Frelick is on the 10-day injury list with a grade 1 strained left hamstring. Isaac Collins filled in, got on base in the 5th, and scored the Brewers' first run on a double by Caleb Durbin. Then in the 7th, Durbin with a solo shot to deep center sailed over the wall at 410 feet to make it 2-0 Milwaukee. The Brewers have now won 8 in a row. Game 2 against the Dodgers coming up tonight with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, becoming mostly sunny, we'll have highs in the low 80s. For tonight, partly cloudy and a low around 61. Mostly sunny on Sunday with a high near 80 degrees. 81 on Monday, 87 on Tuesday with some scattered showers and storms. Currently, 78 degrees.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped 4 seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Jenna Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation area. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought they did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Folks, if you're just tuning in, I'm Charlie Behrens. This is Civic Media, and here's my conversation with the Nasus Antetokounmpo. What's one of your hobbies outside of all the work stuff? Like, don't have any tie to work. It's just like when no one's looking, what are you doing? And not like that, but when no one's looking, what are you doing?
I'm a big movie guy. I like movies.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm old school. Like, I go to the movies.
Do you?
Yes.
Yeah. Which movie theater do you go to?
So
let's blow up your spot a little bit.
No. You can't blow up my spot. I'll tell you why after. You cannot blow up my spot because but
you can't blow up my spot. I'll tell you why after. That's why I can't blow up your spot, because you're gonna tell me after we're rolling.
No. I can tell you. I go to Brookfield Tavern. I go to AMC. I feel like though like they've kept really the traditional, like, because they went through a phase, right? And with Amazon now and everything, but I'll always be that guy.
Yeah.
I don't care if I'm 60, 70. I always believe in the family, the weekend, or alone, you know, or solo. I go solo sometimes, going to the movies.
That's what I was just going to ask. There's only a certain type of person that goes to a movie alone. I'm also that guy.
Really?
Yeah, I like it.
We should go to the movies together, and you should just sit over there. I'll just sit over here.
That'd be great. You just tell me the movie, the time and place. We'll go there. We may not even see each other, but we'll both text after.
Yeah, I would just text you like, hey, are you watching this? Okay, we're watching. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm the creepy guy up in the corner by myself. Are you the other creepy guy in that corner by yourself? Okay, glad we got it.
I do believe that. I just feel like that. When I say hobbies, I like hobbies that involve like just experience and family. Like, I'll give you an example. One of the hobbies that everybody keeps telling me to do and I don't do is I don't ski. And I don't ski. And a lot of people, like in Greece, we have like mountains and stuff. And in Europe in general, it's big, right? You snowboard, you ski. I'm the guy who like, I won't do that, but I'll come for the chalet, like I'll come for the, you know, for the
oh, so you're
the cabin.
Up, yeah, you're up there for the ambiance.
For the jacuzzi and the stories and the hanging out. I'll come for that.
Okay. That. You've never skied though, no interest.
Never. Because I mean, obviously with basketball, I mean, it's kind of impossible to quote unquote ski. Nobody says no, but you don't want to do extreme sports while you're
not when you can make a lot of money doing. Why would you pay $200 to go blow out your knee or something when you can get paid good money to blow out your knee or something, you know? I was never very good at skiing. I've done it, but I'm not good at it.
Did you like it?
I like it, yeah. And I go once in a while, but I never grew up skiing.
Okay.
But I grew up rollerblading. I had a pair of rollerblades because I was pretty cool as a kid.
Do they have a roller ability? Do they have a
roller rink?
Yeah.
Yeah. They skate land. They probably have one somewhere. I haven't gone in a bit, but
which one was the it was a movie I watched.
Here we go.
Was it?
It's about roller derby.
No. Oh,
was it?
Might have been.
Okay.
Might have been roller derby. It's crazy. I was watching. I was like, oh my god, this is dope. Is this a real sport? And I was like, nah, no way. It's a real sport. But
yeah, the derbies, dude, they get intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever roller skated or rollerbladed?
Maybe younger, but I was skate, not rollerblade. Skate, okay. Skateboard, yeah.
Okay. Oh, on a skateboard.
I was a big fan. Like, when I was younger, I used to break dance. It was real. Like, I used to break dance. Used to parkour. You know what parkour is?
Yeah, you did parkour?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Dude, what's some crazy stuff? Can you do like a flip without a trampoline?
Now I'm 6'7". Now, probably could.
Wow.
I haven't done it in a minute, but I probably could. So parkour.
You want to try right here?
No, I'm not going to try right here.
Had to ask.
But I would do like, you know, obstacles, jump, quick. Like, so there's a, so in Greece we had this sprint.
Yeah.
So we used to call this, it was after the school and we would like sprint.
Yeah.
And what is it? So you go through obstacles, but you got to run full speed. You can't like just jogging and jump. Do
oh,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you
like jump, the thing catch, where you jump over. Catch, everything. And like I was big into that.
This is a parkour course.
Yeah.
Is what that was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was, but not a legit one. We just made it.
Okay.
It was made up by us. I did that.
That's like extreme. That's like BMXing without the bike.
Yeah. I had a BMX bike.
Really?
Yes.
Like with the pegs and everything and yes, the grind? Yes,
that's how I built my, like, that's how I started jumping high. So,
really?
So true story. When I was younger, I had a BMX bike. And I used to ride it around. I used to have my brother. There's a scene in the movie that my brother's holding my shoulders. He's
oh,
on
yeah.
the peg, like he's holding my shoulders. And I used to ride all laughings like this, go to practice everywhere. Like this with the BMX bike. You know, BMX bikes are a little bit smaller. They're not the mountain bikes or the bigger, smaller. And I used to ride that all the time and my backpack. And then all of a sudden, one summer, true story, I couldn't touch the rim. I could not touch the rim. And then one summer, I did that, came September. Two hands, one hand behind the back, like everything. I was like, what happened? And they were just telling me like, hey, you just really build your muscles through the bike. Through,
oh,
like,
really?
The bike and your quads, yeah.
Wow, so BMX.
I got taller just a little bit, but yeah.
Right, but it was more about the quad strength.
Yeah.
And you got that by just biking around.
Just biking around and with my brother.
What was your best BMX trick?
I think just lifting the steer and just pushing.
Oh,
but that's it. That was it. And then just jumping over obstacles. That was it. I didn't really have no.
Okay.
I'm not, I was no professional, like esports or jump. Like it was just that.
Yeah. Yeah. You chose to, like, as soon as you could dunk, you were like, all right, I'm going to focus on this. Probably better. I feel like the injuries on BMX are, shorter careers.
This was close to basketball. I was 14, 15. It was like 14. 15.
Oh.
And it was, if you think about it too, it was, I loved it. You know why? Because somebody gave us that bike, right? Because BMX bikes are very expensive.
Yeah.
And he just gave us that bike and was running around. And I will never forget this. This is the reason why I want to come to this story. And I was with my brother and we were like, outside, kind of working. We used to sell stuff in the streets and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
Just working. And I left my bike and I went back and my bike was gone.
Damn. That's brutal.
Sick in my stomach. I couldn't sleep for like 2-3 days, man. My bike was gone and I thought about it. I was like, I was so pissed. I was like, oh, when I see this kid. And I always thought it was a kid. I don't know. Maybe it was an adult. Who knows? But I was like, when I see this kid. Now looking back to it, I was like, oh, it happens. You know, those other stories that you see in the movies. It's like, oh, they stole my bike.
Yeah. I feel for you. I feel for little you. I can see little you pissed off.
Pissed off.
Did you cry?
Just me.
Did you cry or you get pissed?
I was, had the pissed off tears.
Okay.
I had the pissed off tears. I was like,
yeah.
But me and my brother was like, man. And we looked out the block, over the block to find it. Couldn't find it.
Damn. Sorry, dude.
That's right.
Have you bought one since?
You want to hear the story?
Yeah.
This past summer.
Yeah.
I went online and found the exact same bike, exact same wheels for the photo shoot. And I bought it and I sent a photo to the group chat. And I told Giannis, I found our bike. You see the scene's eyes lit up. It's like, whoa, what'd you find that? Same bike, exactly. Like, it was an old school 1992, like a specific, like same
yeah.
bike, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Found it. I'll send you a photo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you remember what kind it was? Do you think there's any chance this was the exact same bike? Do you think
for sale?
Yeah.
Somebody no.
It was in Wisconsin you found it or in Greece?
In Greece.
Okay.
Greece.
Could have been the exact same bike, dude. You never know. Was there anything different about it?
I think there's no way the wheels are so well kept since then. So definitely the wheels a little bit, but you couldn't tell the difference.
Okay. Yeah, let me see that thing. I used to be a bike mechanic, so I'm kind of a bike nerd, or as some people call it, a bike fixer. That's not a real mechanic. Thanks, Dad.
Wow, I'm trying to look for photos. I can't find them.
Yeah, your phone's always great about like saying, hey, remember
this?
Oh,
one.
Sick.
You see it?
Nice. So you got it, and then you guys do ride around it? Was Giannis on the back with you again?
No, we're too tall now.
But you're not too tall. You can figure it out.
Yeah, we're too tall now. But
you guys should do like a how it started, how it's going picture.
Yeah, I you know when I want to do that.
What?
people, you know, people, I feel like sometimes people are too fast to do it. They go like, they do it too fast. I want to do that like 85.
85. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Like, I want to be, you know, kids around, family, everybody. How it's going, like, just us, me as kids, and then boom.
Yeah.
35 people in the picture. Like, how it's going now.
You're playing the long game here. I like it. I like it. All right, cool. So, you know, I think everyone, you know, kind of wants to know, what city are you thinking of living in next year?
So what's the question? You want to ask me if Giannis is leaving or anything like this?
You know, no, I wasn't going to be rude.
You can be legit.
All right, what's Giannis doing next year? Where are you doing next year?
It would be very, very, very bad of me and very, very unfair to answer for another person.
It would be.
That's one.
Yeah.
Second of all is that we get asked that every other day.
Bro. Well, that's why I didn't ask you.
It doesn't make any difference. You could ask me anything, bro. You get everybody asks us that, from people in the street to ESPN to every in the court, before the court, after, like, it doesn't matter.
I'm not everyone else.
Yeah, but you know what I'm trying to say? Like,
you forced this out of me. You know? You basically were begging me to ask. And I was asking about you. I didn't even ask about you. No.
But what I would say is that I truly believe, like, the team, you know, like, they're trying to figure something out and trying to figure out what to do and stuff like that. Now, well, the other thing I would tell you too is that you got to think about this. Like, the team has been in a row for a minute, and they're going through a rough patch, and you know, with the, like, not it's not a, and people confuse some couple of stuff. They go like, they talk about the first round exits, right? They go like, oh, first round, and, you know, we lost first round, and we've been hurt. So the first round exit don't really matter because you've been hurt. It's more or less of the regular season, though. Like, you want to be better in the regular season. You want to create good habits, right?
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, there's no, like, I cannot, you know, there's nothing, man. I think, like, they're going to talk. Hopefully, they get him to, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully, they do whatever, you know, they do their best and get him to stay, whatever. Or, you know, I haven't been in this conversation because I haven't been here.
Yeah.
Last year, I was, you know, I was hurt. So, I haven't really been team, because if I was, I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to talk about this, but, you know, I get stuff done. So I don't, like, I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, yeah, let's talk about this or let's talk about that. But what I would say is that the team has always done the best. Giannis has always, and I don't know if I can curse on this, but he's always been this amazing, effing unbelievable, bro, person for the team, for the city, for everybody. Right. And I say this, I am biased a little bit because he's my brother, but I do say this because I see the impact.
Mm-hmm.
I see that all day. So it's crazy to just even think about that. But, you know, at the end of the day, business is business. And, you know, I'm not saying business is business with Giannis. We saw that with, you know, Drew left, you know, Chris got traded, and, you know, and we've been with a couple of guys. Like, I've been with the team like almost a decade, like over half a decade plus. So yeah. I see this and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
You know, you just always hope it's not the last rodeo, but shoot, it's not up to me. It's not up to me.
Right.
It's up to them. It's up to them. So it's not something I can control.
I mean, and, you know, a big part of your role is like, you know, what you hear in interviews and everything, what people say is like how great you are, like, in the locker room too. And, like, how much leadership you have and how much your brother, like, loves having you there and, like, looks to you, you know? Like, do you think...
I think this can be a misconception, right? And I really believe this. I think the other people love me, having me more. Like, I think the other people love having me more than my brother. it's not even a joke. I really believe this. Like, I really believe, like, people around, like, was like, yo, you need to be here. And I say this all the time, but I'm grateful, I'm blessed, I'm happy, man, just to be involved in this community, be involved with the team. And, you know, and we won a championship, bro. I cannot make this up, you know. And I've felt this feeling as a brother, being proud of my brother winning a championship with Kostas. I've had this feeling winning with my brother a championship and winning myself a championship. So it's like, it's a different mentality, vibe, and I understand that, you know, we strive and work hard to do it again and again and again, as many times as we can, because we don't have all this opportunity.
No.
You know what I mean? If you're a coach or if you're a GM, You can be a GM or a coach CEO at 65 to 70 if you want to, right? But as a player, you don't get a lot of chances in the postseason run,
right?
And in the run towards the championship. So, you know, I'm grateful for what we've done so far.
Yeah. And do you feel like you'd always want to be on the same team together?
Me and him?
Yeah.
It's crazy. You know, we always play together, apart from 3 years. Yeah. We always play together, which is insane to say, but we've always played together in the same team. And we played together from since I was 15. Then when I was 19, 18 to 21, or 20, no, 22, 4 years apart. He played with the Bucks, and then I came in 2019, and the Bucks till now. Like, it's been fun, man. I love it. And I don't want to say it's been fun. Like, that sounds a little bit, but I've enjoyed it every last minute of it. So I definitely could see me doing that. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is the crazy part. I've had offers and said no because of, like, saying, like, we have something special. And we did. We won, right? And now you just got to figure out the next chapter.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
How do we, you know,
what is that?
How do you do it again? How do you, you know, build the team, stuff like that? But I've always considered myself, like, I'm not a, you know, regardless of the outcome ever, right? Regardless of what happens, I'm always, like, I'm a Milwaukee Bucks fan.
Yeah.
Right? I'm always been like, whatever, I'm rooting for Wisconsin. Like, I'm rooting for Green Bay. I'm rooting for the Brewers. I'm rooting, like, that's who I am as a person too.
Yeah.
And the same thing, even for like people who always gave me opportunity and embraces me, like, that's how we are as a family. And we do that. And I understand, you know, and in the day, business is business. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise, because if they tell you otherwise, they're lying to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But at the end of the day, that's what I want to hold dear. I want to hold dear the memories, experience, and stuff we've done so far, and hopefully we create more.
Yeah.
We'll create more of those.
Absolutely. Well, I got to say, whatever happens, Milwaukee loves both of you guys.
I don't doubt that. Like, they're like the proud family. This is crazy. It's a crazy statement to say, and you don't see that often, but they're like this proud, big, proud family of a guy who came in and watched them grow. Watch them play basketball. Watch them, like, develop and win games for the team. Watch them become a dad. Watch them become a husband. Like, it's crazy. They watch this kid grow in front of their eyes, right?
Yeah.
And become this guy. Okay, now it's my turn. Like, I got to lead this team and be this leader, right?
Yeah.
Over all these phases. So I'm very, I don't want to get emotional or something like that, but I'm very grateful, you know, because everything happens for a reason. I'm very religious, so I believe in God, and I think God puts everybody together for a reason. Eh?
Yeah.
You know, and God says, this is what's supposed to happen. This is what's supposed to happen, and keep going. You know, I don't never doubt his intentions. Never.
Yeah. Never. No, absolutely. What religion are you Christian?
So, yeah.
Catholic?
I was in Greece, it's Orthodox.
Orthodox. So you guys got a different pope then? No, same pope.
Yeah.
Same pope, different pew. How does it work? Who runs the Greek Orthodox Church?
I'm not going to lie to you. I'll always say this. Did you get the message? We all got the message.
We all got the message.
Exactly. I don't look to faces to get a message from God. I don't tie, you know what I'm saying? I don't tie a specific person to get this feeling, this divine feeling, this feeling of gratitude and blessing, and how can I give it to others, right? I don't say, like, oh, look what he said. Look what he said. That's how I got to follow my life. That's what I got to do. No. I'm like, I learned through the Bible. I learned through the stories. I understand what it all means. Because if you ever read the Bible, right?
Oh, yeah.
You will see, in any culture, in any religion, you will see that all these stories have a meaning.
Yes.
How you can take the stories out of you, it's open to your own interpretation, but all these stories have a meaning. And what do you keep from them? How do you learn from the mistakes? What is the modern version of it?
Yeah.
What is the modern version of it? So, yeah.
No, I mean, I like it. And I also think the Bible says so many things, and you can pick anything to, like, be your guiding spirit or whatever. So it's almost like the Bible says pretty much everything if you want to find the words.
Yes.
And it's like what you take from the Bible says more about you as a person than what the Bible is saying in a lot of ways, I think. But no, I like that a lot. No, I was just bringing up the Pope because I was like, you know, dude's from Chicago. He could be a Bulls fan, man.
He's from Chicago?
He's from Chicago.
This is so now I got a question.
Yeah.
What do you know what's the percentage of like I'm assuming this is like is this a new thing? Is this the first time?
First American pulp. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was about to ask like predecessors and stuff like that.
Yeah, first one, dude.
You
first
excited?
What's that?
You're excited?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's a Midwesterner. That's great. I mean, he's from Chicago. That's not great. But,
Why's that great?
Well, because, I mean, we're talking the Chicago Bears, dude. And that hits deep with me in a way that I can't, you know, quite comprehend. I mean, we all know God's a Packers fan, so that's fine. But if you're going to lead this church and you're a Bears fan, you're going to have to reconcile with that. And I hope this Pope knows that. And I think he does. He's been watching football for probably his whole life. He knows that most of his, you know, life, if he truly is a Bears fan, has been despair. And he's probably prayed so much for the Bears to do good. And they just haven't because they suck terribly, except for 1 year, because, you know, everyone needs a pass. But anyways, I'm getting ahead of my shoes here. I'm sure he's a good guy. But Greek Orthodox, I don't even know. Do you guys... Is the Pope part of that deal or not?
Bro.
You don't know?
I was, you know, baptized and everything. You know, I have a... I'll tell you one thing, too. What I noticed, too, is that I'm very, like, you know, I go Sunday, I go to church. But here in church, you know, I either go to Greek church or I go to, you know, Catholic church. It doesn't... I don't have a...
Yeah, I get it.
I don't have a like, oh yeah, this is what I do. Like, I'm not the, how do you say it? Is this or nothing? Like, I just want to go to church and feel like I'm in the presence of people who are looking for the same thing.
Yeah.
Because that's what all church is, if you think about it too. Like, it's a lot of people who really want, believe in something and believe in, however, it doesn't matter the religion, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You could just always believe in the creator of things, in the creator, and that, you know, you're appealing to this person to like really show you the way or how you want to live your life or enforce you, or maybe you're living the life the right way and force that even more. Instill that to yourself, to your kids, to anybody, just instill that thing.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at all the religions, you know, pretty much saying the same thing.
Yes.
In a lot of ways.
Yes.
It's kind of like that great poet Macklemore once said, whatever God you believe in, we come from the same one. You know?
From the same one.
Yeah. And also thrift shop. It's popping. You ever heard Macklemore?
Oh, he's talking about that.
Yeah, this is a 10-year-old reference I'm slinging out here, so don't worry about it. Don't even worry. We got this question here on the Cripes Cast that we ask every guest that comes on.
Yeah.
And it's, what makes you say Cripes? Okay, and Cripes.
What is Cripes?
Well, I'll explain it to you. It's like, you know, like something happens and you're like, ah, oh, Cripes, you know? You could say like Cripes. So the first way I said that is kind of like a pet peeve, you know, like, ah, Cripes. And it originates from Midwesterners not wanting to take God's name in vain, Jesus Christ, right? So they switch it up. They say Cripes. I tell you what.
Oh, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I see it now.
So what's like a pet peeve of yours? What makes you say Cripes? What grinds your gears? What annoys you?
So, okay, in general, I'm a very easy person. And I do have two of them. So one I won't say.
Okay.
I won't say that.
Okay.
But I'm gonna say the second one. So one of my pet peeves is this.
All right, folks, that's all we have for now. But if you want to listen to my full conversation with the Nassus, check out the Cripes Cast anywhere you get your podcasts.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's got you down, just keep her moving. It's on Wisconsin, the Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
You know, sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No. Gotta keep her moving.
This is the talk of Lacrosse. Eagle 1490 AM. Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we are back from our road trip across Wisconsin, back to recap all of the weekend news. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Matt Nair on Air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Los Angeles police sources tell ABC News the driver, who they say crashed into a crowd of people overnight on a sidewalk, will be charged with assault with a deadly weapon. Police say they've determined the driver was shot after he crashed his car. They say the gunman ran off. Los Angeles Fire Department Captain Adam Van Gerpen.
A vehicle had drove on a sidewalk. It hit a taco truck, a taco stand. It hit a valet stand, and then it crashed into a crowd of people.
23 people taken to hospitals. A tourist boat flipped over during a thunderstorm in Vietnam. Officials say over 30 people are dead, several others missing. Something appeared to go wrong with a prop at Katy Perry's San Francisco concert last night. She was singing Roar, strapped to a giant butterfly soaring over the crowd, when it suddenly dropped. She appeared to look up, signal that she was okay, and finished the song. Video of it all is on Instagram. This is ABC News. A lawyer says...